this is going in, we need some serious prayer for those folks. We do believe that God heals. We do believe that He does. And we start there. This morning we're in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 is going to be somewhat similar to Colossians chapter 1. Done. Colossians chapter 2. You all there? You may stand. Paul the pastor says these words. The Apostle Paul, the pastor of the church of Colossians, says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Paul says that his purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may be deceived, may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm you are, your faith in Christ is. Father, in spite of the difficulties represented by those here today and represented by your church around the world, we stand firmly in Christ this morning. We declare by our presence here and our standing now that it is in Christ and Christ alone that we stand, that we proceed, and that we hope in. Our hope is in Him. And we know that our hope will not fail us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there is coming a day, and for those who may be sick this morning, there is a day to know what you stand on. If your foundation is anything other than Jesus Christ and eternally hoping in Him, that your place of reward is hidden with Him in heaven right now. Right now. This is no future mamby-pamby pie in the sky kind of day. Now. Then you're standing on a foundation that is weak and crumbling. And the Apostle Paul, being the pastor, wants us to know in Colossians 2 that the goal is to be encouraged in heart. Encouraged in heart and united in love. The Apostle John talked about love. I remember standing up here going through 1 John going, there it is again, love. And the next week, love. And this love thing. Well, the Apostle Paul is going to kind of continue his theme. And his theme is not love. His theme is so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so as in chapter 1, Paul's talking about wisdom and knowledge and the treasures. In chapter 2, he continues it. And guess what? As we get later on in the chapter, he's going to tell you why. Why we need wisdom and knowledge of the treasures of God. And again, if you're standing up in a place of difficulty this morning, you want to know that what you stand on is solid. Well, the treasures hidden in God are solid. Paul desires us to have an understanding of complete understanding of the mysteries. And he names the mystery. It's Christ. It's Christ. And I'm not sure about you, but I am not encouraged by a lie. If you're sick or you're hurting or you're down or you're depressed, the last thing you need from me is to give you false hope. And if you're one of those, and we're not here, but if you're a person who is lost in sin, destined for hell, the last thing you need is God loves you and he's going to take you to eternity without dealing with the sin. And I've been told that I can be depressing and cause people to be uncomfortable. Good, if it's the truth. I think there was a time in my life where I would have preferred to hear the lie, because I wasn't willing to deal with the truth in many cases. And the truth of the matter is that our lives in Christ are not from one victory to another, just constantly going from high to high to high. There are downs and there are depressions and difficulties, and we're not in an endless parade of financial gains. Is anybody on an endless parade of financial gains? I didn't think so. Then why should I preach that? Why should I preach that? Life is difficult. It's difficult. Well, Pastor, you're really getting down and depressed now. No, because it's difficult, and in spite of its difficulty, we are encouraged in Christ. We are encouraged in him. No matter what you're facing this morning, you're not out of his hand. We may die in the next 24 hours. That doesn't mean he lost control of us. Our hope being, biblical hope being that confident expectation, is that he's going to bring us home one day. And until then, he loves us and he's going to work for our good. So Paul wants us to be encouraged. The pastor in Paul says, be encouraged in heart. He also said, united in love. John told us that we couldn't have fellowship with God if we didn't love one another. Paul is saying, be united with one another in love and be encouraged in heart. Why? Because when we're encouraged in heart and united in love, he says that we begin to understand the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge hidden in Christ. That word treasure is the Greek word thesaurus, O-S. And it can refer to gold or silver, or it can refer figuratively to anything of great value. And that includes wisdom, knowledge, an understanding of mysteries. Now, everybody knows what a thesaurus is. A thesaurus is a book with the groupings of words that are similar. So if I didn't want to use the word hot, I would look it up in the thesaurus and maybe use the word scalding, or something like that. I mean, I was a college graduate and didn't even know this book existed. Vicki used to use it all the time. She kept it on her desk when she worked at a bank. So, a thesaurus is a book of words. And the book of words, and words have great value. Proverbs 2:1. Says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Notice what the verse doesn't say in relationship to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The verse does not say if you were born a genius, you will have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The verse does not say if you go to Florida State and graduate with the highest grade of mediocrity you can gain, you'll have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The verse says that it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Do you know that if you're saved this morning and fear the Lord, not as in that trembling, he's going to kill me, but reverence and awe, if you have that fear and you are saved, you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that the best unsaved scientist doesn't have. That's what the verse says. As a young man, my search for wisdom and insight never went more than 30 seconds. Because at 35 seconds, I was tired out. It was just too much. I had a headache and have to take a rest. I didn't look for the deeper things. Young men, start looking for the deeper things. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Sometimes as Christians, we don't look for the deeper things either. Sometimes we don't stand on faith long enough for God to work. We just give up the fight. We give up the quest. It's kind of like searching for gold. This is not searching for gold. You know, I watch all the Alaska shows. If it has Alaska in its name, I'm probably watching it. And I love the Alaska shows where they're digging for gold. You know, invariably, these guys will go to Alaska, or some of them live there, and they will invest their entire life savings just to get the right to a piece of property that might have gold in it. And once they get the rights to that property, they then invest in equipment and fuel and employees and food and travel and all kinds of other things to get to the place where the gold is suspected to be, and then spend endless hours, days, weeks, and months digging mountains, literal mountains of dirt, looking for a speck. That is what treasure hunting is. And if wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the mysteries of God are treasures, then this isn't going to get it. Gold may be found on the surface, but it is in the depths of the earth that you will find the mother lode. And Paul is using this treasure in the sense that we can search for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So you would say that as a young man, I surely was not a treasure hunter. As a matter of fact, if a mountain of dirt yields an ounce of gold, well, let's just say that that ratio would put me pretty much as a clueless young man. Insight and wisdom and knowledge are stored up for you. wherever you're at right now, you can and should know more. I'm not talking about memorization. I'm talking about mysteries. Paul said it. I didn't say it. He says it right here. This is what we're talking about. God has more for us than we'll ever be able to mine. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, let's be certain about this. Faith is required for salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But that, does that mean that wisdom and knowledge are valueless? Does that mean if I have my faith, therefore I don't need to be wise, I don't need to be thinking, I don't need to be mining for more of God? We're trying to build a house of worship here. In our homes, we're trying to build houses, homes of peace. And in our community, we're trying to build a place of rest from the onslaught of addiction. And part of that process is applying wisdom and knowledge. See, wisdom and knowledge are not for those who already have it. They're for us. I remember in high school being with the smart kids, and they always had the answer. And you know what that did to me? It caused me to say there's no sense in my trying to have it. They already got it. And so I skated through high school doing the least I could. And I succeeded at it. Our faith should not be something that we skate through on. I don't care how young you are or how old we are. There is more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for us. Gold, fortunes in gold are accumulated one speck at a time. You got big machines, you're doing multiples, but it's one speck. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in God and the mysteries of God is very often accumulated one speck at a time. Isaiah 33:5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to the treasure. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't have the key to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It also says he will be the sure foundation. Now, I know he's not writing, Isaiah's not speaking to us, God's not speaking to us necessarily, but I got to tell you, when I look at that verse, he will be the sure foundation for your times. Jesus is the sure foundation in your time of need, which is for many of us today. Your problem, your trouble, your issue, your illness, your lack, your breaking of relationship, your whatever, you want a foundation that applies today. Today. When we do our work, Ray and I, there are times when the foundations are from yesterday. And yesterday's foundations don't stand up to today's codes. I want the foundation of today when I'm in trouble. And Isaiah says, he is your sure foundation for your times. This also could be applied to end times. Because end times is going to need a different foundation, but the same God, the same salvation. But we need to stand on something different then. And I want to know that if we're entering those end times, that I have a foundation that applies to the day that I'm in. And I need to search that foundation through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding by seeking out the mysteries of God. Because God said to Daniel, lock up the understanding of these things until the time of the end. And I say that if we're beginning to understand what those things are, we are in the times of the ends. And in those days, I want the foundation that applies then. It's the same salvation, the same Lord, the same God, but different wisdom, knowledge, and understanding than what we had before. And it's not that IQ is required or the degree. How many times have we heard the verse? And yet we shy away. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of understanding. And we don't think to ourselves that means we can have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Paul, the pastor, is saying to the church, the Colossian church, listen, folks, I want you to know the truth. It's the truth that sets you free, not the lie. I want you to know these things. The Lord is the sure foundation, very specifically in our time. In our day, every foundation is breaking. Every sure thing is coming down. In one of Vicki's magazines this morning, I read of the complete reversal of Americans' views on sexuality and expressions of sexuality and names and whatever. We have totally turned our understanding of sexuality upside down. And where people didn't support one thing before, they now overwhelmingly support it. Everything, it would seem, is confused. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. Good is evil, and evil is good. And in between, we can't agree on anything anyway. But it brings me courage. And for those of you who are sick, it needs to bring you courage that in your day of need, there is a foundation. And it doesn't take a Gallup poll to assure you that that foundation is there. The things that I confess in Christ and that you confess in Christ are safe and secure. So have hope in your foundation. Because when the shaking starts, the foundation must be strong. 2 Corinthians 4:7. This was either the first or one of the absolute very first messages I ever preached. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And what Paul is saying is an extended verse here is the treasure that Paul is referring to, which is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, found in the face of Christ. Paul saying, the knowledge of the glory of God as found or reflected in the face of Christ is found in you and I, clay vessels. There is a mystery. For man, the glory of God is a mystery. And God chose to take that mystery and put it in us. And you and I are the ones understand the glory of God, but maybe just a little fraction of it. If we were to understand anything about the glory of God, that is what is found in his people, the jars of clay. God took his glory and put it in us. That is something an unsaved person cannot say, even if he is Albert Einstein. You and I have the light of the glory of God in weak and broken vessels. That statement is far more significant than we might even gather this morning. You're facing an issue, you're facing a struggle that is in the natural. But if you are saved, you have within you the reflection of the glory of God, a firm foundation. In Matthew 13:52, Jesus said, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Now, I recognize that none of us are teachers of the law, and Jesus was speaking to the teachers of the law, but we are disciples of the kingdom. We are disciples of the kingdom, and that means that when we go to our storehouse, our house, storeroom, we can bring out new treasures as well as old. New treasures. Because the foundation is for our day. And the understanding of certain things in this book is going to be for our day. And I'm not talking about things that fly in the face of doctrine that is founded in the Word. I'm talking about understanding of the mysteries. Genesis 1 through 12, we said last week, was God making promises. And the rest of the Bible was God fulfilling and working through those promises. But we come to understand what the Old Testament was doing was a shadow and a reflection of Christ. And when Christ came, he walked into the shadow. To say that Jesus stepped into that shadow was not to say that he changed the doctrine. He just showed us what we couldn't see before. And in our day and in our time, there are things that we are going to see in the Bible that God is revealing us for our day. They are there to help us navigate the difficult days ahead. They are not there for the past. Isaiah 45:3. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. Hey, Dan, there's things you need to know, and you're too busy being stupid. Treasures for you if you would only seek me and read my word and dig like a miner moving mountains of dirt for what is so small but so precious. I have things I hid for you, but since they're hidden, just find them. And he's calling your name and my name. Your trouble this morning may be for the purpose of revealing to you and you alone the glory of God. Calling you by name. Colossians 2:4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. I got to tell you, let's be honest about it. If you've got an expensive suit and a good camera crew and a lot of money, and you too could talk about things like name it and claim it, the old blab it and grab it. You too could be talking about the prosperity doctrine. In many respects, these are nothing more than fine sounding arguments. Paul says, I don't want you to be stuck in those things, lost in them. Many of us were, and we came through that time, and we fell into these fine-sounding arguments. And after having been in them, some of them to some degree for a while, I don't want to go there any longer. But if I can mine for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding like I would mine for gold, then I have a responsibility in the deception, because I don't need to be deceived. You don't need to be deceived. When your foundation is shaking, you don't need to be deceived. You have a foundation to stand upon. And that foundation does not mean that you will always win. It means you will ultimately win. And that foundation is sure. And when we search God for the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of even that thing which we're enduring, we will strengthen our foundation. Many, many people have looked at a mountain and said, there is gold in them there hills. Few will venture up the hill with a shovel. And even fewer will spend enough time to find what they're after. God says, I've hidden it for you. Come find it. Colossians 2:2 again. My goal is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know who we are this morning? We are people of wisdom. We are people of knowledge. And it doesn't matter what grade you graduated from. Those who are still in school, you're not becoming scholars, you are scholars. We have insight into the mysteries that have been hidden for the ages. Do me a favor. Do not come up to me after the service and say, well, that's, you know, I get it, but I'm not really smart enough. I didn't say smart. The key is the fear of the Lord. The issue is, do we use the key? Do we use it? Now, if you just don't want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding this morning, if you don't want any more than what you already have, then do me a favor and pray for those of us who do want more. The God who wrote the Bible is not sitting down going, wow, the world's really different than I thought. How am I going to make this work? He built within the Word the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of mysteries that we would need and said, I've hidden them for you. Go find them. And I'll tell you this, you only find them when there's a need. This is our time. This is our time. That time applies whether it's your personal need or it's the end time events or anything in between. That's the way he wrote the Word. It covers it all. Now that's a mystery. I can write one paragraph and have four people get offended by it when I was trying to be nice. And you can too. God wrote his book in such a way that it reveals itself as the times emerge. If your time is today, God, I'm standing on your foundation. I'm seeking your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding. And I know the foundation of my salvation will not move. And I know that that foundation will apply to my today. And so we stand this day, Lord, on the only foundation that will not shake when the world shakes. We stand in the place of trusting you. We stand in the place of asking, we as a church, ask for your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding because we do fear you, Lord. We've committed our lives to it. And so, Father, in our day, personally, corporately, or worldwide, would you reveal to us the mystery for today and then do it again tomorrow and again the next day? Show us, Lord, what you've already known from the foundation of the world, and we too will give you the praise, honor, and glory. We face storms all the time, and we sing about Christ alone being the cornerstone. A perfect example of a bad foundation in the natural. Did you ever read those books about the hurricane such and such in 1916, 19 whatever, and you see houses all over the street? Foundation causes something to move blocks away where it doesn't belong. A sure foundation keeps the house where it belongs, even in the storm. So if your foundation is weak, you're going to be moved by the least of storms. And if our foundation is solid, we're not going to be moved. And that is who we are in Christ. Some of you know this. Well, some of you have faced difficult storms. The storm was scary and you thought you couldn't survive, but a servant.